Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William Grider, who's a national affairs correspondent for The Nation and the author of the national bestsellers One World, Ready or Not, Who Will Tell the People, and The Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country. A reporter for 40 years, he has written for The Washington Post, Rolling Stone, and has been an on-air correspondent for 6 Frontline documentaries on PBS. His latest book is Come Home, America, The Rise and Fall and Redeeming Promise of Our Country. And his latest article at The Nation is Spy Agencies, Not Politicians, Hold the Cards in Washington. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Grider.
Thank you, Ian.
And this battle that's going on between the United States Senate and the CIA, I guess, surprised some people in as much as the head of the Senate Select Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, who's been considered to be fairly compliant, seemed to have shown some backbone and some resolve. What do you think it was the motivating factor there? Is this a turf battle? Is this about...
I think it's profound. I made slight fun of these powerhouse people, both in the Congress and the White House and the CIA and the National Security Agency. They're all suddenly at each other's throats, and I think we can credit. I think that's good, by the way, because these agencies have gone way off their reasonable limits and lied both to the Congress and the public, and the indictment is pretty clear. But I think you can credit, among others, but especially I call Citizen Snowden, who, as we know, was the techie who, working for a contractor, saw the scope of what the NSA was spying on and what they were doing with this information, and was properly appalled, and as a citizen took the risk of leaking these documents. And I think he's now, getting beat up by the right-wingers and even some of the left-wingers who think that our security as a nation depends upon these secret agencies, which I think is bunk. But I think in time, Americans will understand that this young man did a great favor for the Republic. And he at least has started the possibility that the country will turn on these agencies because they're damaging not just to the foreign people who get spied upon, but to the Americans who get spied upon. And that's way over the line of what we thought was our constitutional government.
But what seems to be happening here with this 6,300-page report on the Bush-Cheney torture regime, that's what's being contested, and that's what's being held up by the CIA.
Right.
It's cost the taxpayer $40 million to do this apparently exhaustive review of what happened. And frankly, I don't know why anybody on this planet would be defending Bush and Cheney. I mean, look what's happening now,
yeah.
Bill Grider, with Russia and Ukraine. The U.S. doesn't have a leg to stand on in terms of moral posturing over invading other countries.
No, absolutely. And I think if we rolled back the camera for 10 years, these same people who are now indignant because the CIA, the NSA, CIA evidently spied on them, that is, looked over their shoulder through these computer systems and saw that this Senate committee was getting to some ground they didn't want it to go to, and that's what Senator Feinstein was enraged about, that, oh my gosh, the spies are spying on us. There was a wonderful headline in the Huffington Post that captured the absurdity of this situation. It said something like, Senators okay with spying on citizens, but not spying on them. And that's pretty much the situation. And I think it's indicative of the lax oversight of the Congress, not to mention the White House, that here we are 10 years later, and they're running this massive investigation of how did this torture happen. And I suspect they're also re-arguing the question of, well, is the torture really torture? Which is itself, all this is an absurdity. They should have blown the whistle in 2002, 2003, when we first learned about this stuff?
Well, we only first learned about it because of Colonel Wilkerson, Colin Powell's chief of staff, breaking ranks at, and ending his career.
That's right. And there were a couple of reporters. I remember Cy Hirsch and I think Dana Priest at the Washington Post, who wrote the first, she, I think, wrote the first stories about these underground transport of so-called terrorist suspects, where the U.S., the CIA, was literally shipping them to countries where the government didn't give a crap about torture. They were for it themselves. And so there they could torture these people beyond the purview of U.S. law, they said. Well, that's nonsense. It's a U.S. agency. They're responsible for their behavior wherever it happens. But here we are, 10, 12 years later, suddenly arguing over that again. And meanwhile, Ian, I think you've had this experience with me before. Once you get me started, I just keep going because I am, as you can tell, animated by this subject. I think, and that's why I wrote that piece sort of mocking these people, because they deserve to be mocked and denounced. I compared in my piece, House of Cards, which people in your city know, I'm sure, is a wonderful American version, and I love the British version, which preceded it. But I said it's the wrong story. The story is not scheming politicians murdering each other and scrambling to the top of the slippery pole. It's these two spy agencies, which in a way have a handle on the politicians and are dancing them around like puppets.
Again, I'm speaking with William Grider, who's the National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation and the author of national bestsellers One World, Ready or Not, Who Will Tell the People, and Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country. A reporter for 40 years, he has written for The Washington Post and Rolling Stone and has been an on-air correspondent for 6 Frontline documentaries on PBS. His latest book is Come Home, America, The Rise and Fall and Redeeming Promise of Our Country. And his latest article at The Nation is Spy Agencies, Not Politicians, Hold the Cards in Washington. Now, one of the things that I find disturbing about this whole civil liberties spying issues that Snowden most certainly provoked the debate on is the extent to which the left is being eclipsed by people on the right or the libertarian right, like Ron Paul, who was recently out here in California at Berkeley winning over students. And a lot of young college kids are drinking the libertarian Kool-Aid. They think it's just because they're in favor of smoking pot and against foreign wars. They forget the fact that the libertarians want the Koch brothers to run America and get rid of the government altogether. But I noticed that Rand Paul was making digs at Obama about this issue and basically saying, well, it's pretty strange to have a black man in the White House who's bringing back the days of J. Edgar Hoover spying on Martin Luther King. Pretty strong barb, wouldn't you say?
That was a little over the line, I would say, to bring race into this subject, because although his point has a factual grounding, it does. I think it's a cheap shot, because why should black Americans be especially sensitive to this question than white Americans? I mean, we should all be sensitive to it, so that it's a cheap distinction. Nevertheless, your larger point is right, and it upsets me, although frankly I've given up on the Democratic Party a while ago, because they don't have the nerve, with a couple of exceptions, to stand up and tell the truth about this situation. And I don't give Dianne Feinstein any credit. She's fronted for these people for, what, 20 years as a chairman or vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And whatever is revealed, she usually has an explanation of how it's misunderstood or blah, blah, blah. So, but the Democratic Party in general, I find, and I'm including the president, but not the president alone, they're so confused now about their political standing that they're pretty nervous about every subject. And they have a couple of swords they wave in the air on stuff that, of course, I think is correct, raising the minimum wage and some stuff like that and the immigration problems. But there isn't. It's like a party is brain dead. And this one, you're absolutely right. The libertarians have always been righteous on the subject of privacy and free speech and all that constitutional ground. So it's not new for them. I mean, you can't accuse Rand Paul of, you know, stealing the other guy's issue. It's been his issue forever and his father's before him. But nevertheless, in olden days, when I was a young reporter in Washington, there would have been a dozen Democrats on the floor of the Senate standing up in vigorous protest in the presence of a Democratic president that was not inhibiting. So now I think they would say, oh, well, we're in a bad shape for this election this year. We don't want to make it worse for our party and our candidates and so forth. Well, to me, the silence, their silence is making it worse. It's giving people fresh reasons to be indifferent about the outcome of the election. I read the newspapers. I have no idea whether those dire predictions about what's going to happen to Democrats in the Senate are correct or not. I will find out soon enough.
Well, they appear to be blaming the messenger, Nate Silver, at the moment.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah, well, he came up with this prediction.
I heard his numbers, yeah.
Yeah, and that's freaked them out, and now they're sort of complaining about his methodology or et cetera, which nobody's ever complained about before since he's been consistently right.
No, not when it was
going the other way. Yeah. Well, but that's, I think the point that you're making there, Bill Greider, is the point. You know, if these gutless people who are incapable of taking a stand, except, say, for Senators Merkley and Udall on the Intelligence Committee who've pushed this issue, then if you don't stand for something, then why not vote for the other guy?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean, we know what the other guy stands for. It's not very good, but
at least
it's something, you know.
Well, and I think the Republicans, for reasons we're familiar with, are in their own kind of breakdown of, I mean, they've sort of lost it, right? And they're swinging back and forth on some of the nut stuff and then some other stuff that's not nutty, but nevertheless dramatically off the usual Republican path. And I would not be surprised if in the coming years the Democratic Party winds up in a similar condition. It'll be around different issues, of course, but they have gotten used to not speaking to a lot of stuff, and the president reflects that, but so do the members, at least the bulk of the members in the Congress, especially in the U.S. Senate. House Democrats are a bit better, but they get a free ride because they're in the minority and they can't assert themselves much anyway. But you know, we're going to go through a couple of elections and find out whether this sort of limp-wristed political party is a permanent fixture or whether it's just a few bad years when they lost their way. I'm not optimistic, frankly.
So it's the gutless party versus the crazy party.
Yeah, something like that.
And what a choice!
And the crazy party, like all sort of, you know, the crazy idiots standing in the middle of the road, some of what they say is actually true. so you tend to credit them for those moments of clarity.
Right. It's like the broken clock is right twice a day, right?
The other party is just sort of hunkered down in the corner hoping they won't be noticed.
Right.
And it's a pretty dismal choice. And that's why I'm celebrating. And I'm, you know, if you read the piece, you know that my tone was kind of,
yeah,
this is good news. These people are at each other's throats. That's very promising.
Well, what do you think, though, will be the outcome? Will we ever see this 6,300-page report on the torture regime from the Bush days?
Well, I hope we will. I mean, but I don't think that's not the crucial element. This is quite totally a coincidence. I wish I could take credit for it, but in the New York Times has a story today, which is from those anonymous sources we all know so well from the White House, explaining that the president is going to do this and this and this to limit the scope of the NSA, and he doesn't quite have it ready yet, but he's going to produce it rather soon, and so forth and so on.
Right. This is the headline that Obama to call for end of, to NSA's bulk collection, bulk data collection, right?
Yeah, well, but you read the story, it's sufficiently vague and wobbly in its phrasing. It's not clear when you finish the story what, if anything, they're going to do, except they're going to change the rules a little bit, and they haven't done that. So don't hold your breath. But I think it's so obvious that, and they, here's a deeper meaning of these events, Ian. And I said this in the piece. We had these, I'm being, again, playful, but I said these computer geeks come along, and they're offended by things they know or they've seen, and they literally, I'm talking about Wikipedia, WikiLeaks and Snowden, have blown the doors off secrecy. They really have. And that's obvious to people around the world, and people around the world are reacting to that. And in this country, the political system doesn't know how to react to it, except with a few brave exceptions. So it's just sitting there unacknowledged on the table. But it changes everything, whether they want it changed or not. So it would be reasonable to assume that this isn't over, that Citizen Snowden and like-minded people have a whole closet full of stuff that they can put on the table. And the government is acting like, well, we're going to get these guys somehow, and when we get a hold of them, we're going to put them in prison for the rest of their lives, or blah, blah, blah. Here's what ran in the paper last week, I think it was, in the Washington Post, ran a story supplied to them by Snowden that said the CIA, the NSA now has the capability to record 100% of the telephone conversations in a foreign country. And it is doing that in at least one foreign country right now. And it has programmed or envisioned in its papers, reports, all secret, of course, that it will do this in five more countries. So as I suggested in the piece, the Washington Post reported in the story, we're not going to tell you the names of those countries because the White House asked us not to, and they thought it would complicate their lives, as indeed it would, if you name the countries. But Mr. Snowden knows the names of those countries.
I think he's probably in one of them, isn't he?
He may well be in one of them.
Right.
And I suggested he hold a worldwide contest. Are you the country that's if you talk on the telephone in Moldova or Ukraine or China or Russia, you're going in the files, and we've got tape, voice recordings of what you said, and it doesn't matter if you're in government or out of government. If you're using a telephone, we've got you, or a cell phone. I mean, isn't that by itself a stunning fact? And wouldn't it be easy enough for the government to say, well, we disapprove of that, and we are today, by executive order, telling the SAA to unplug that program now. We're not going to study it for a couple of years. We're going to do it right now because it's wrong to do to a foreign country. And I can tell you, the foreign countries, when they find out which ones they are, they will react accordingly, and should. Wouldn't we, if we, anyway, I think a far-sighted government would recognize its dilemma and sort of get ahead of the story by saying, we're going to deal with this now. Instead, I predict we will wait and wait and wait, and then one way or another, those names will pop out. And the problem will get bigger for President Obama and for the Congress and for Senator Feinstein and all the rest. So maybe that's what it takes to unwind this incredible system that the government has created. But well, I'm not a you know, hobby horse on civil liberties and so forth. I believe in the same things most people believe in. But this strikes me as, I'm in Washington, D.C., as you know, and I don't get a feeling from the press or from the political dialogue that the folks in this town yet understands the depths of what this exposure has done to the federal government and to both parties.
Well, it looks as though people in the business community, particularly in the new high-tech industries, the Silicon Valley industries, they've been getting it for a long time, and it's affecting their bottom line. I mean,
that's
they went
right.
along with the government. They were in collusion with the government, Google and these big, and Facebook and others, and Verizon, et cetera, until it started to hurt their business bottom line. And they're losing customers all around the world because foreign customers don't want to be involved with U.S. internet companies, and because they think that there's a built-in trapdoor to the NSA. And they've been lobbying the White House. And I think they didn't. They show up at the White House just a week or so ago?
Yeah, a bunch of them went in last week and delivered that message to the president. Right. In private, but it was reported, and I think that's part of what I mean when I say they don't realize the depth of the damage, because that will happen, and you know, we're now in a situation where if you're in Germany or China or France or any number of other countries that are direct rivals to the U.S. in global trade and production, you got to ask yourself, should we just pretend this didn't happen, or should we develop our own systems? And I'm not good on this. You probably know more about it than I do, but I know there were the beginnings, I think, in Germany, among other places, of developing essentially rival internets that would be different systems and could operate in the world alongside the U.S.-dominated internet. And for their own privacy purposes, create these systems. Now, I haven't seen this discussed lightly in the newspapers, but my hunch is that there are people somewhere on the West Coast talking about this, and there are people in Europe and Asia saying, wait a minute, we don't need to go to the U.S. system where we guaranteed to be spied on by the U.S. government. We can't do it, but we have the ability to break that up. And so what you could see in the long run is the disintegration of this wonderful world utility, which mostly the U.S. created, and now it's been abused, and it's tainted. And I don't know the technology well enough to know. Can you undo that stain once it's there? I don't know.
Well, they're already there. You know, Russia and China and other countries are already within the umbrella group that controls the internet, which is certainly situated here in the United States, began here, and we've created the rules of the road.
Right.
But now they're starting to question the rules of the road. And, of course, China and Russia are not doing it for the best reasons. They're doing it because they want more censorship and more control.
Right.
And deny their citizens information. But this is blowback. I mean, this is just blowback from the abuse of something. And we only have ourselves to blame.
Well, there was a little story in the papers last week, I think. And I can't even remember the name of the group. It's basically the technical group that supervises the internet and does the name recordings. And, you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. And the U.S. Commerce Department announced out of the blue that they were ceding their role as the director general of this thing and allowing this international group to operate. I guess we'll still be a member, but we were the guy in charge, and we volunteered to surrender that position to the international group. And I bet you anything, that's exactly the conversation they had worldwide. And just told the U.S., look, this is untenable. If you don't change your position, we're getting out, or we're going to just shut down this international group. So this is just the beginning of, I think, it's going to be a huge story, and it will really test the integrity of the U.S. society, really, not just the government, is do you really intend to work toward a globally compatible system, or are you just out doing capitalism's thing for your own benefit and never mind who gets screwed?
Well, William Grider, I appreciate your time today, and I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with William Grider, who's a national affairs correspondent for The Nation and the author of the national bestsellers One World, Ready or Not, Who Will Tell the People, Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country. A reporter for 40 years, he has written for The Washington Post and Rolling Stone and has been an on-air correspondent for 6 frontline documentaries on PBS. And his latest book is Come Home, America, The Rise and Fall and Redeeming Promise of Our Country. And his latest article at The Nation is Spy Agencies, Not Politicians, Hold the Cards in Washington. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.